Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode number 7, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much for tuning in. For more information on 6 Weeks of Fitness, please visit our website at www.6weeks.com. In this episode, I will be joined by USA Olympic bobsled pilot Jasmine Finlater, who will share her personal journey towards becoming an Olympic bobsled pilot for the U.S. Olympic team. This is truly an amazing young woman and role model for so many of our children, and it was a pleasure interviewing Jasmine for this program. Now, as you know, there are only 24 hours in a day, no more and no less. Each one of us receives the same amount of time. The only question is, what will you do with yours? And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks of Fitness. Jasmine Finlater is an American bobsledder who recently competed in the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. Born and raised in Wayne, New Jersey, Jasmine received a bachelor's degree in multimedia communications and advertising from Rider University and completed her master's degree at the California University of Pennsylvania with a concentration in exercise science, something I can really get behind. She is now pursuing her MBA at DeVry University with a concentration in marketing. Now, during her time at Rider, she competed on the track and field team for shot put, discus, and hammer, becoming the first student in the school's history to rank in the top 25 track and field athletes nationally. And after her graduation from Rider, her track coach suggested that she try a bobsled camp, and it was at that time when she fell in love with the sport. Jasmine attended the Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards and hosted the ESPYs red carpet for Team USA this year. Now, Jasmine is also an official blogger for the Team USA website and is dedicated to bringing more diversity to winter sports for young girls and urban youth. I am pleased to welcome Jasmine Finlater to our program. Jasmine, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to speak with you and chat with the youth today and talk about sports and fitness and being a better you.
Oh, thank you so much for taking time away from your schedule to be on our show. But now, do you still live in Wayne, New Jersey?
No, I kind of live out of my suitcase, a little bit of a world traveler. In my fine niche sport, bobsled, you kind of have to go where the cold weather is and best training environments. But my mom still resides in New Jersey, so it will always be home for me. And I get to visit there as often as possible.
Okay, so where are you now as we speak?
Currently, I'm at the United States Olympic Training Center. There's three in the U.S., and the one I'm at is in Lake Placid, New York, upstate. Okay. It's the home base for winter sports, specifically bobsled, luge, skeleton, as well as some ski events.
Okay, now I know the weather's kind of damp and cool here. I can imagine it must be cold up there in Lake Placid, huh?
Oh, this morning it was about 35 degrees early morning, so winter is definitely on its way. It's brisk and we're ready for winter, and we'll be on the ice for the bobsled track in just a few weeks, so I'm excited.
Oh my goodness. Now, I know your family was deeply affected by Hurricane Irene back in 2007. How are they doing now?
Well, that hurricane came as quite a surprise and came through with a big tragedy of us losing our home. My mom was homeless for about 12 weeks and then lived in a construction zone trying to rebuild for another 8 months. So I was sending money home to help them out, to stay on their feet and get through the process because I was in the middle of qualifying for my team and left for the season, something that my mom was very strong in telling me she wanted me to continue moving forward. So after that, we had some health issues with my mom. So it's been some trials and tribulations throughout the last 3 years since Hurricane Irene in September 2011. And a year after that, Hurricane Sandy hit. It didn't hit us as bad, but we still had a lot of repercussions of finance within our area, trying to businesses getting back on their feet and things like that. So it's been a struggle, but with a support system of your community and my team and things like that, we were able to get through and are holding our own.
Unbelievable. I mean, you talk about trials and tribulations, ups and downs. It has not been easy for you.
No, I think that's what makes it the prize and the victory and the accomplishment worth that much more. At the end of the day, I'm not necessarily defined by how many medals I can rack up or records I can break, but just the pure joy of accomplishing and continuing to stand up and move forward. And looking back at the journey of how I got there, it really means a lot to me.
Oh, amazing. Now, out of all the questions that my listeners wanted me to ask you, the first one is, how did it feel walking the red carpet at the ESPYs?
Wow. So the ESPYs, I mean, I've, you know, watched that show and heard of athletes and all the awards for years and have idolized a plethora of athletes that have been awarded and attended. And it was great. I mean, I normally am in bobsled spikes, a helmet, and a speed suit walking to the line to race. And this time I got to change it up and wear a gown and makeup and high heels. Which is a lot of fun. And also I was a Team USA correspondent. So not only did I get to walk the red carpet, but I got to be on the flip side interviewing fellow Team USA athletes about what it meant for them to be there at the ESPYs and who they wanted to meet, as well as meeting other great celebrities within athletics, such as Leila Ali, just her strong empowerment for women in sports and health and fitness and being a better you and pushing through. She's had some trials as well. So it was a great inspiration.
Oh, most definitely. I actually saw some of the footage with you and Leila Ali talking on the red carpet. I thought that was quite impressive, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, what about the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards? You were there as well.
I did attend there. It was pretty great because I grew up as a Nickelodeon watcher, and some of my favorite shows come from Nickelodeon. And just to see those kids, that award show was actually devised by the kids. It was the first annual sports award show by the kids choosing. So to see the athletes that they chose for inspiration and why, and then there were some fun categories like best swag and king of athletics, queen of athletics. So that was a lot of fun. And just to be there and see how much it means for these kids to be able to put a face to a name and really, really listen and I guess highlight athletes that not just did really great things athletically, but touched those kids' hearts, and that's why they chose them.
Exactly. For a child to see someone that they idolize or read about, saw on TV, and actually meet them up close and personal, it's a lifetime accomplishment for them. You know, it makes a difference in their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, so you guys, I really applaud you because you are a wonderful role model. And I can't say enough about you. But, you know, one of the many reasons that I'm happy that you agreed to be on the show is because, as you know, I run a not-for-profit health and fitness organization called Body Sculpt of New York. And we created a program, an event called the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo, where we actually engage children in over 25 sports activities. And track and field is one of them. And I believe that's how you got your start over at Rider as a track and field athlete.
I did. We heavily recruit power, speed, and strong athletes. And track and field has a great area of those combinations all within that sport, coming from long jump, triple jump, the throwing events, and the short distance speed events. So it's really great to know that I was able to cross over a lot of those skill sets and fine tune them specifically for bobsled. We also heavily recruit and have a lot of athletes on the men's side coming from football or rugby. So I think track and field is just such a great base for whether you want to take it to the next level or just perform in it for extracurricular, to really teach you to understand your body, whether it's fast twitch or slow twitch muscles. And there's such a variety of areas that can curtail to what skill sets you have.
I hear you. And now as I listen to you speak and you mentioned football, I would say that being an Olympic bobsledding athlete, you're incorporating a lot of those large muscle groups, like in the legs and then the core, the shoulders, the arms, to actually compete in bobsledding, correct?
Correct. A lot of different people have crossed over from sports, and it's great to know that this is a sport that doesn't necessarily put you in a box. You can come from anywhere in the world. You don't have to be from a snow environment, winter environment, and you don't have to come from a specific sport to transition. It's all about the athletic ability that you have and converting it to maximize what you can do within bobsled.
Most definitely. Now, what skills would you say are required to be a good bobsledder?
I think the three main skills that I just mentioned, strength, speed, and explosiveness. We often train a lot like 100-meter sprinters, but yes. I also am lifting and doing explosive activity like an Olympic lifter and NFL football player. So to use that combination, you can't just be fast. We're pushing a 400-pound sled in the two-man. But to be explosive and develop velocity to put into the sled so that when you hop in and your pilot is driving down, you maintain that speed as much as possible.
That's amazing, because now I understand you are a bobsled pilot.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for my listeners, I know that you were what they termed a brakeman, and now you're a pilot. Can you explain the difference between the two?
Sure. Being a bobsled brakeman or push athlete, your main focus is to be the engine for the sled. So if the bobsled was a car, we don't have an engine. Our engine is our physical capabilities of accelerating the sled and creating velocity. So the main job of the brakeman is to be that pushing force and create speed and velocity at the start ramp of the sled and hop in. And after that, they pull the brakes at the bottom. And their main role also is to be a great team player. Our sport is a blue collar sport, creating a lot of things that you need to do to maintain your equipment, sanding the runners, long hours at the track. So all of that, you're kind of like a team captain when your pilot needs to do more things focusing on driving the sled. You pick up the slack on maintaining the equipment and getting things organized. As a pilot, your job is also to push the sled, but not only to do that and help your brakeman accelerate it, once you hop in, it's go time. That's your bread and butter, is to navigate down 1 mile of ice, making as little mistakes as possible, remaining consistent as possible, as well as getting down as safe as possible, hopefully to see great results at the bottom.
That is a great explanation. That is amazing. It kind of reminds me of when I was growing up, we put together these little go-karts. We would push each other. But this is something completely different. Now, let me ask you about your training routine, because it sounds to me like you must be a weightlifter.
Definitely. I actually lifted weights yesterday, and about 4 days a week right now, I'm doing some type of Olympic lifts and dynamic lifting that will transition the strength I gain from Olympic lifts and put it into explosive activity. So I do a lot of weightlifting and circuit training as well. The main areas for us are our legs and our core. Your core can stabilize everything in your body. So without a strong core, and that doesn't mean just doing abs, that means a lot of stability training and full body exercises as well. That's what makes us capable of doing what we can do.
Yeah, so I think that exercise physiology that you learned, exercise science, comes in handy, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It's great when something's not feeling so good. I know how to change up workouts so I can still maximize the use of what I need to do and stay healthy, as well as in case there's an issue of something being sore, a little bit tweaked, not necessarily an injury, but a little bit tweaked, I'm able to do some exercises to get myself back as soon as possible.
But what are some of the challenges that you face physically and mentally as you pursued your Olympic goals?
I think people underestimate the strength of the mind. The mind can overpower a lot. So they actually scientifically say that your body can handle a plethora amount of pain, but can the brain handle it? And that's where it comes into play of as an athlete, knowing when you're in pain, when you're sore, when you're just tired, and when to gut through it and when to really know there's an issue and back down. So I think a lot of things, elite athletes as well as young athletes and just people staying fit in everyday life, is the power of the mind. We tend to neglect that and just work out our bodies, but the mind needs just as much, if not more, attention.
It's a sort of like a mental toughness that you must have, correct?
Right. And I think it's a mental toughness of reality. You have to know when to you're making excuses for yourself and when you're pushing yourself too hard as well. There's a very fine line and gray area. And I think a lot of people just lack confidence. And if they set small goals to achieve their big goal, it almost like the cliche, take baby steps, people would be a lot more successful in accomplishing what they would like to, whether it's through fitness or school or daily activities, more than just saying, I can't do it, or let me just grind it out and you know, burn myself out until it happens.
What part does nutrition play in your life?
Nutrition is huge. Next to mind exercises, as well as paying attention to my physical training and mental state, nutrition is right up there. I need to fuel myself to get through my workouts, but I also need to fuel to recover. So I definitely stay away from high sugar and fake sugar nutrition. I'm all about staying as organic and local as possible. Sometimes on the road, that's not the case, so you need to make accommodations. But staying very clean eating, everything has to be done in moderation. So it's not like you just eliminate everything and can't have fun and hang out with your friends and eat a pizza here and there. But you just have to know when is the right time to do it and when too much is too much.
Very good. I like that. It's great, great comments there. I'm sure our young people listening is going to benefit from this. Now, what activities did you do growing up?
Well, I actually started out in modern dance before I even started sports. So I actually never played a team sport except for physical education class. But my dad, coming from the Caribbean, was always super active. My mom has a ton of male cousins, so she was always the girl that was playing flag football and trying to hang out with the boys in the family. So I started out fairly young, whether it was soccer in the backyard or tennis or riding bikes or even going for a jog and staying active. And I started dance when I was about 5 years old for 10 years. So that was another activity that I did. And I also competed in. So I got to a very competitive level, competing nationally, trying out for Broadway and even the movie Crooklyn by Spike Lee and different things like that, all before the age of 15.
So dance was really your main activity.
Yeah, I thought that I was, I had an Olympic dream starting out very young, around 5, just watching sports on TV, whether it was the FIFA World Cup or the Super Bowl or the Olympic Games. I just was mesmerized by these athletes and hearing their stories of sacrifice and the camaraderie of sport and really what that moment meant. And I thought, well, why isn't dance an Olympic sport? I'm going to write my congressman. So, of course, my mom entertained that idea. And slowly, behold, I transitioned into track and field in high school, which led me to a scholarship to Rider University. And that transitioned again into bobsled with just someone mentioning the crossover.
And one of the things we always talk about with my organization is the importance of exposing children at a young age to fitness activities. And that's what happened with you, by being exposed to dance, actually, then transitioning it over, correct?
Mm-hmm. I think, I grew up very fortunate to have a family that never closed doors. They said, you can be whatever you want to be. I had a great support system, so I'm very lucky for that. And saying not to really restrict your net. We talk about casting a net and how wide you want to cast that for your life. And my parents were always like, cast it as wide as you'd like. And because you don't want to be a woulda, coulda, shoulda, or you don't want to look back and say, man, I had that opportunity and I just let it slip away. There's not many times or opportunities for things come twice, if not three times, and knock on your door. So take the chance and take the risk, and it could even lead you to something else. So for me, track and field was a chance. I didn't really grow up doing sports, so that was something that I wasn't so sure about, but wanted to stay fit in high school and get involved in sports. And I ended up excelling at it, which helped pay for my education and, again, open a door to bobsled.
Oh, beautiful. Now, you speak so well. Do you speak in front of groups of like children or to inspire them to go after their goals as well?
I'm very active with children, and I love going back to my hometown, if my schedule allows, to speak to my community or different schools. Right before coming to Lake Placid, I was actually at McGuire Air Force Base and Fort Dix to speak with their youth. But I'm also a Team for Tomorrow ambassador for Team USA. And as an ambassador, I encourage other Team USA Olympians and hopefuls to, wherever they're training, go to their local school, their YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, and really get active, whether it's helping out with homework or giving a speech or playing basketball on the court, so that kids have a person to look up to outside of family and school. And maybe they don't have the support system that I was so lucky to have, but they can look into it within that community of youth programs.
Now, would you recommend bobsledding for urban youth today?
Oh, I'm a gung-ho bobsled enthusiast. I work right off the street. I think urban youth today definitely lives in a time that's changed since I've been young. But at the same time, I feel the same pain. I felt the same pains and struggles that they go through today. And with the advance of technology and 140 characters is supposed to keep your attention and 7-second videos, people are really looking to stand out, and they get labeled and defined to fit in certain boxes. I want people to know, just to get out of your situation of maybe having a single parent, or you're living in and out of foster homes, or whatever the case may be, you don't have to be a star football player and earn thousands of dollars to accomplish something and be something. You can go out and be a doctor. You can be a bobsledder. The world is your atlas, and it's up to you to create that, I guess, that strength and that mindset of, hey, I'm going to be the best person I can be today and tomorrow and the day after that. You know, life is too short to just let some of these possibilities pass up. And I want to encourage the urban youth and all youth to really get out there and do what they want to do when it comes to anything, and not be satisfied with the labels that are put on them by their circumstances.
I'm going to do my part to make sure as many kids as possible have a chance to hear this interview, Jasmine. That's wonderful advice, really. Now, your role models, I know you mentioned your mom, your dad. So would you say that they were your primary role models growing up?
I definitely say so. Olympic year, I had a lot of interviews asking me who my hero was. And hands down, that will always be my mom. No one in this world, to this point, can hold a candle to the strength and tenacity and the resilience that she has and she's bestowed upon me. And I'm forever grateful. I just hope I could be half the woman that she is. But I've also been able to, use the people around me as inspiration, my teammates, and seeing what they've gone through and their stories, and as well as just athleticism in general, seeing people that really came from nothing or came from a lot of things. So you can be on either spectrum. But again, like I said, there was this box that someone put you in and label you. So whether you came from a lot, people expected this of you and told you, well, you're not that great at this, but this is what you should do. Or if you came from not a lot, you know, you'll never make it, and this is what you should do. And I've seen all different types of people really excel and break records and not break records. But the best part of it is their genuine light that they spread, the lessons that they're able to teach. So I definitely, being an Olympian, have a lot of inspiration just within Team USA and my own country.
Oh, beautiful. Now, what are your current and future goals, and how will you achieve them?
Wow. Well, I have a bucket list. It's got a lot of items on it, athletic things related, as well as just lifetime goals. I'd love to make my second Olympics in 2018, and another goal would be to hopefully medal and bring home some hardware for Team USA.
Yes.
And another goal of mine is to post athletics, take a year and travel the world and do some photojournalism and make a book, and so that I can bring some of world's simple pleasures to those who can't travel or those who want to travel and inspire them through photography. I'd love to write a book, and okay. I'd love to either start my own foundation or be a main contributor or CEO of another foundation.
Well, I tell you, I believe all those goals are achievable for you, Jasmine. I really firmly believe that, and I expect it. Okay, I really, truly, honestly expect you to be a light, you know, an example, someone that all young people can follow, can look up to and say, I want to be like her, you know? I can see that coming. Now, is there a message you would like to share with some of the young kids, like some of the girls and women that are listening to this podcast?
For sure. As a young girl, a young adolescent woman, and even as an adult woman, we're going to be faced with a lot of discrimination. We're not as tough as the guys. We're not as strong as the guys. We're not as smart as the guys. And I think the main thing is to always have confidence in yourself. No dream or idea is stupid or dumb or unrealistic. What's unrealistic is not pursuing them and not making a goal and a plan to try and accomplish them. Because like I said, sometimes the goal you set out forth, the path you try may not be the path that actually ends up getting you there, but at least you went out and tried.
Oh. So in other words, you must try.
Yeah.
You know, my father's always said to me, nothing beats a failure but a try.
Yep.
You got to at least give it a shot. Now, how can we stay in touch with Jasmine Finlater, social media or whatever you can give us to stay in touch with you?
Well, to stay in touch with me, definitely if you're up on social media, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram. It's the same name, @Jasmine Finlater. And also Facebook, I have a fan page where you can see my races, keep up with the schedule and see where I'm traveling around the world. I'll post pictures. It's www.facebook.com/JasmineFinlaterBobsled, one word.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Now, you can see a picture of Jasmine on our website at www.sixweeks.com. And we're going to do our best to get this out to as many of you as possible, as soon as possible, so you can have a chance to listen to what Jasmine had to say. But Jasmine, we at Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness want to thank you and wish you all the best that life has to offer. You are so wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and being a part of this program.
Thank you so much for having me, and get out there and start moving, everybody. Be the best you can be.